This week's mailbag comes from Marie. She writes, I'm listening to your podcast and I wanted to encourage you. I love that you're a working mom who is middle class. You have a similar background to me as a child. Money was not a big worry. But as a 36-year-old married woman, money is a big worry, especially since we've had big medical expenses every year for the past 11 years since having kids. You are exactly the type of person I enjoy listening to because your life is incredibly relatable. I love being organized and being inspired to improve. I can't think of another podcaster or TV person who is more relatable and down to earth. You are a blessing. Thanks for writing, Marie. Do you have an Organized 365 success story? We'd love to hear about it. Send us an email at lisa@organized365.com and let us know how you've changed your life and your home with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. I have been wanting to talk to you about manifesting for a while, but I'm not really sure how to discuss it. So I'm just going to go for it and we'll see how I do. I would use these same words interchangeably: goal setting, vision boarding, manifesting. I think it's just we change the word every once in a while, so it seems like it's a new thing. But really, all three of these are very, very similar. And I've done all of them. And I'll tell you the similarities and the differences and why I think that you should manifest organizing your house. You're thinking, Lisa is going to get very woo-woo. I can't believe she's talking about manifesting. It's okay. Stick with me. It's not as woo-woo as you think, number one. And number two, feel free to skip this episode if you want to. But this is a lot of why I feel my business is taking off, and I have a much different perspective on the ability of our mind to do more for us than we give it credit for. So you've heard me say for years and years and years that the change happens in your mind first, that you can listen to these podcasts for 18 months and literally declutter nothing, but you're actually making progress. Like, your mind has to change first. And the more I've gone down the woo-woo trail in the last couple of years into manifesting, I realize that that statement is correct, and I'm actually starting to find science to back it up. So let's start with goal setting. Let's start as concrete as we can. There was a study done, and now I think it's been debunked. But anyway, there was a study done that people that wrote down their goals were more successful than the people who did not write down their goals, from Harvard. And I think that's been debunked, but it is true that people who write down their goals are more likely to achieve them. And I know this is true for me. Like, I could go back all the way to 2012 when I was creating Organized 365, and I wrote down my goals for what I wanted Organized 365 to become. And I go back and look at them now, and it is scary how closely I have matched those written goals. And I will do that every January, and usually sometime in the summer, I will just sit down and I will dream about what I think my business can be and what our family will look like and my marriage and where we'll travel. It's not necessarily goal setting as in SMART goals that are specific, measurable, actionable, you know, like that. It's more, this is the big picture of where I think I'm going, and I write it down. And if you've ever done this or you've ever written in a journal, it is amazing how often those writings become reality, even if you're not staring at that goal sheet every day. I will come across lists of goals that I have that I totally forgot I wrote down, and they will have already come true, and it is amazing. One of the neatest instances I have of this is the last time we did artificial insemination to get pregnant was in April of 1999, and my mom journals everything. And so she journaled about that, and she was praying for us to get pregnant, and we obviously did not. And that was when my mom started fasting Coca-Cola. She stopped drinking Coca-Cola until we had a baby, but I didn't know she was doing that. So fast forward to January 8th, 2000 when Joey was born, and my mom came down and met him and had a Coca-Cola and then realized that that didn't taste as good after you haven't drank it for 9 months. And she was like, 9 months. She's like, Lisa, this baby is born 9 months after you did your last artificial insemination. Like, this is your baby. Like, you were pregnant this whole time, and I fasted Coca-Cola this whole time. And we would not have known that if she didn't write it down. Because who would remember, you know, the exact date that she did it? But it was written in a journal. So what you write down is very powerful. Are you journaling? Are you writing down? And I don't do it very often. I would say maybe 2 or 3 times a year, I really sit down and I try to write goals, or I vision where my business is going, where our family is going. I did it for Joey, you know, the things I wanted to see in his future. I'm doing it for Abby, that kind of thing. That purposeful writing down and thinking through what you want your future to look like and goals is step one. Or I would say the first way I did this. And then I started doing, last year I did a vision board, which was basically the same thing, only with pictures. Like, I went and found pictures that went with my goals for that year. And those goals were much more specific. They were going to get done in 1 year. They weren't like big grandiose type goals. They were more like, I would like to do these things this year. And I put some pretty big things on that list. And at the end of the year, and I had made like a little collage thing, but I wasn't looking at it every day. It was like in this other folder. And every once in a while, I would run across the folder and I would open it up. I'd be like, oh my gosh, 3 more of those things happened. 3 more of those things happened. Like, silly things. Like, there's a picture of Joey standing in front of one of the colleges we went to. And I just put that picture on there, like, for Joey to go to college, which he is going to go to college. There's a ring that I wanted that you see me wear in my Facebook lives and everything. I've wanted that ring for 6 years, and I had on my list that I would get that ring, and I did. I had on the list that we would do our landscaping and stuff like that, but I also had other memorable experiences, like Greg and I would take a trip, which we did. We went to Vegas and things like that. And every time I saw that list, which was a picture list, I was amazed how many things on that list were just naturally happening. And I wasn't seemingly doing anything different to make sure that those goals happen. About maybe 2 years ago now, I started learning more about, or studying more about, manifesting and how your thoughts become actions and your actions become reality. And basically, every single thing that you look and see in your view right now was first an idea in somebody's head. Like, the IKEA cube unit that I'm looking at was somebody in Switzerland, or I think it's Switzerland, designed this, you know, pre-packaged, how can we package furniture as small as possible to ship it anywhere? Before everybody knew we would be shipping all the furniture, they had the idea to do that. I'm looking at the binders I made, or the Sunday baskets I made. Like, literally, those did not exist. So it was 1 year ago now. That's amazing. 1 year ago, not even as of this recording, I went down to Texas to meet with the manufacturer about making the Sunday basket, which wasn't that far of a stretch because I had seen the boxes they already made. I knew I liked them. Mine just had an insert. Like, it was going to be different dimensions, but it wasn't like no one had ever seen a box before. And they are the largest binder manufacturer in the United States. So I asked for a tour. They're like, you want to see the factory? I'm like, yes, I love seeing factories. So we went through the factory. I saw all the binders, and we went out to lunch. So Drew and Christine and I went out to lunch. And he said, Lisa, where do you think this is going? Where do you think Organize 365 is going? And I could almost, I have chills thinking about it now because I can't believe I said this. So I was sitting there with him, and we did not have any binders yet. We did have the medical and financial as digital downloads, but that's all we had. And I said, well, Drew, we have the 100-day home organization program, and that helps women get their whole house organized, and that's $500. And I think that in the future, there will be a $500 paper program that literally will ship a box to women's door, and it will have all the binders they need and the Sunday basket, and they will be able to organize all the paper in their filing cabinet and everything in the Sunday basket, and that will be $500 too. And eventually, they'll be able to order both, and that will be all their paper and all their home ordered, you know, in one click. We deliver it with all of the online support that they need. And as I was saying it to him, they're like, wow, that's a pretty big goal. do you have the binders? I was like, no, not at all. So, but I remember saying that. So here, instead of writing it down or making a picture, I verbally said it. And you guys, as I said it at that lunch, I had never thought that thought before that day. It wasn't until I was walking through a factory with a manufacturer that was going to support us in making physical products and saw what they could do with their resources and what I wanted to do for the homeowner. I didn't know what the four binders were going to be. I didn't know, like, I knew $500 was going to be the price. Turns out it's the perfect price. Like, I can't even tell you how it happened. Just divine intervention. And I came home and I started, we got the Sunday baskets going and I started making the additional binders. I knew I wanted a reference binder and my content team wanted an operations binder. That's how you got that one. Our definition of what a household binder was two different binders, and that's how we ended up with four. And the Sunday basket obviously worked. So they were working on all those things. So in March, when I went to Texas in October, in March, I wanted a Sunday basket. What I ended up with in March was four binders and a Sunday basket and a complete set ready to be sold after we redid the website. That is mind-boggling to me. Like, I know I was the person who did it, but I'm telling it to you as if I'm telling you the story of somebody else who did that. So what I'm telling you is, number one, whatever you write down as you're thinking about your future can happen. Whatever you cut out in a picture that you're thinking about could be your future can happen. Whatever ideas that you explain to someone over lunch, over a phone call, you know, through Voxer or in your prayers at night can become a thing. Like, all of these are ways that things go from inside of your body to outside and into the real world. The piece that I was missing for a while and why some of the things that you write down or cut out pictures for or explain don't happen, because obviously not every single thing I write down happens, nor you. And you're like, well, why do some things happen and why do other things not happen? And I've been diving really deep into this. Now we're going down woo-woo land, people. And what I realized was, for people who have achieved really, really great big things, like electricity and moving cars. And like, I loved learning about Benjamin Franklin. Man, was that guy visionary. They were able to see the future reality of what they were creating so clearly that they could emotionally put themselves into the future. Okay, so let me do this a little bit more slowly. When I was creating the financial and medical organizing binder as a digital download in the summer of 2017, I knew it would organize people's filing cabinet, and I knew it would help people who were caretakers and who were settling estates, which is what Emily and I needed when my father passed away and Janet needed when her father passed away. And like, I knew there was a need out there for the financial and medical organizing binder. It wasn't until I was at lunch and I had seen the factory and I was sitting there with Drew and Christine in, I can remember exactly where we were in the restaurant. And it was like I was having an out-of-body experience as I was explaining to them, this is what women really need. What women really need are these four binders that are going to replace their filing cabinet. Because, okay, we all know we should go through our filing cabinet and declutter it, right? But then what do you end up with? A smaller filing cabinet. It doesn't really necessarily move the needle. It doesn't excite everybody. Like, I still don't know what's in there. Like, it's still a filing cabinet. But getting it out of a filing cabinet and into binders changes it. It's like taking all the clothes out of your closet and trying them on. It's like, oh, well, which of these four binders does it go in? And how often do I update it? And now it's portable. It can go to the lawyer. It can go to the doctor. It can go to the school. It can go to another family member who's going to care for you. Like, it makes your paper purposeful, portable, and organized. And I had been trying up until that point, before I went to that factory, of figuring out how do we make it digital, which is what everybody was trying to figure out. How do you take your filing cabinet and make the whole thing digital? Well, now you just have a filing cabinet on your computer. It still doesn't help you. It's the binders that are the key thing. As I was explaining this to Drew and Christine, I could picture in my mind hundreds of women with these binders physically going through their filing cabinet and putting things into binders and then going, oh, I can find that right now. Oh, you need that paper? I can find that paper right now, and knowing where their papers were. What I did not imagine at that time, but I have since come to realize is a very important part of this portable part, is all of the hurricanes and fires and natural disasters. And there are times when you have to leave your house and it's much more convenient to grab four binders than to just leave your filing cabinet and come back to nothing. You know, I mean, we do need our paper to be organized and we need it to be portable. So anybody can make a binder and anybody can have a vision for getting people organized. But the emotional component I put into that story of literally in my mind, I can see you right now in your house, in your filing cabinet, pulling that all out and going, okay, I'm decluttering. I know what to shred and not to shred. And then I also know I need to sort into four piles and I need to make four binders or five or six, you know, if you have some extra things that need binders. But it gives you the direction and the purpose of sorting that, that then I can see, I could see in my mind hundreds of houses that have these binders in them. Women going to pull off these binders to advocate for their kids or take care of their parents or sell their houses. Like, I can totally see it. And once you can see the solution in action, even if the binder doesn't even exist yet, that's when it will manifest. Like, it will come to be. So let me give you another example. During this same time, we had debt. And we have paid off our debt and gotten it back and paid off our debt and gotten back. And I keep hearing Dr. Phil in my head. Not that I ever watched a lot of Dr. Phil, but apparently I watched enough of it. And I would hear him say, what are you getting from that? Like, you're getting something from that. What are you getting from that? And I'm like, what am I getting from being in debt? Like, clearly we keep getting back in debt and we make enough money. Like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, why are we doing this? And something changed in how I think about I don't know, something changed. And now I know that we won't go back in debt again because the way I think about it has changed. I guess it's not a good example. I don't have a really good story about how I did that. But let me just tell you the story about organizing. So when I started organizing in 2012, the first time I went through my whole house from January to May, I went through the entire house, went through every single space, and I literally got rid of half of the stuff we had. I got rid of so much stuff. We had a garage sale. We had everything. I went to go back through the house. I took a couple months off, and then I went to go through the house again, all the same spaces again, and I expected for there to be not very much stuff there. And what I found was there was tons of stuff left. Like, I hadn't really organized anything whatsoever. All I had done was declutter. And I hadn't even decluttered all the way because there was so much stuff to get rid of. And I was very frustrated with myself. I was very mad. I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, I should be able to maintain. I shouldn't be still decluttering. Like, this should be organized. So I went through the whole entire house again. I probably got rid of another 20 to 30%. And I did do some organizing. The third time through all of the spaces, there wasn't as much to get rid of. And now I was starting to do more strategic things like rearranging spaces in our house. Our kids were moving into high school, out of middle school. So now I could really get rid of some stuff I had still been holding on to for the grade school days. So I got rid of more. I organized more. Now, the fourth time I went to go through my house, there's a purpose to this. I remembered the second time I went through how overwhelming it was to do it again. I really had not made great progress the first time. And it used to take me like a weekend to do my storage room. And then the second time it took a whole day. And the third time it took like 6 hours. So it's the fourth time I'm going to do my own house. And I decided I'm going to start in the storage room. And this is why we start in the kitchen now, because storage room is not where you should start. But I was like, all right, I blocked off the whole day. I got the tunes ready. I got my favorite beverage of choice. I'm like headed down to the storage room. And I get down there and I went through the entire storage room in less than 2 hours and I was disappointed. I was like, well, I blocked off the whole day. Like, isn't there more to get rid of? Isn't there more to organize? Like, how can I be done? This doesn't make any sense. Like, I didn't get that satisfied organizing feeling because I was used to such a big project that I would cut off such a big piece that would take me all day that I would, like, it'd be a physical release as much as a mental and emotional one because I'd be moving these boxes and sweating and all this stuff. And I was to the point where my home was more organized, and I hadn't realized it because my mind had not caught up with my physical reality. And I was more organized than I was giving myself credit for, because I enjoyed the process of organizing other people and organizing myself. And so I was looking for that mental, emotional, and physical release in getting a big room organized. It's why, even though my kids were high schoolers and could organize their own rooms, I'd be like, I'll organize your room for you, because it was a good 2 or 3 hour project. I could do the whole thing in 2 hours, but at least I could get in there and do it, even though they could do it. I like the high of organizing. Like, I really like it. So what does this mean for you? Two things. Number one, some of you are like, oh, that's why it's not doing it for me anymore. Like, you're almost like buying stuff so you can declutter it later, or you're over decluttering what you've already decluttered because you really enjoyed the organizing piece. 10% of people in the 100-day program go on to be professional organizers. It is really funny, but I could see why. Once you learn how to be organized, you want to organize other people. Like, it's empowering. It's fun. It's really a great thing. That's one set of us. The others of you are thinking, oh my gosh, I haven't even started yet. I don't have the 100 days. I can't buy the 100 days. Like, I don't even know where to start. This is pointless. I'll just keep listening. What I want to say to you is, when I stand in my warehouse now, I was just there today, and I look around at this 1500 square feet, which boggles my mind. 1 year ago, I had a planner. Now I have a 1500 square foot warehouse with 10 people that work for me. All these products, all these things, all these women's lives being changed. I cannot believe what happened in 1 year. Give yourself some perspective. 1 year from now, could you be organized? Yeah. 1 year ago, how organized were you? Give yourself some perspective looking back, not just looking forward. And then also, the last piece I want to leave you with is that your brain can do a lot of this without you. I could have never made the paper organizing program, which then also adds into All Access. I needed to hire content writers to help me. I physically did not have enough hours. I could not have done it without the manufacturer. I could not have done it without the graphic designer that made everything that we did look awesome. I couldn't do it without Melissa and Janet shipping everything to you guys when you order them. Like, I could not do that project all on my own. And you may be to the point where you cannot organize your whole house all on your own. Here's the thing. When I came up with the idea for the binders and I could envision people using them a year later, I had no idea how that was going to happen. I didn't have any of those team members at that time when I went to Texas. Pat, I had Pat and Melissa, but Melissa was still doing professional organizing at the time. She wasn't even doing shipping yet. So I didn't have any of the team members that actually ended up creating a whole entire program. So I want you to think about your house. You might not have the resources to buy the 100-day program. You might not have the help in your house to get things organized, but you never know. I want you to go to bed at night. This is going to sound really weird. Go ahead and turn this off if you think I'm crazy. I want you to go to bed at night, and right before you sleep, I want you to think about one area of your house that you want to get organized. It could be an easy area, a hard area, an area you don't know how to organize. I want you to lay in bed, and I want you to think about this area. And I want you to think, what will that look like organized? How will I feel when the kitchen is organized? How will I feel when the bathroom is cleaned out? How will I feel when I get in my car and it's totally cleared out? And then I want you to imagine that car completely clean. And everything that's in there has been taken out. It's been thrown away. And you're getting into a clean car. You just got it washed too. So it smells really good, you know? Or you're going to go down into your kitchen. You're going to open up your refrigerator and all the food in there is good and good for your body and all organized and it looks great and you cannot wait to make your breakfast. Or you're going to go into your laundry room to do your laundry and you've put in some new shelving. Like, imagine, I want you to do this in your mind. What would make that laundry room great? How would you enjoy that laundry room? Like, and you could do it different every night. Like, just pick one room. Every night, keep going back to the same room. Oh, I think I'm going to put these shelves in there tonight. And I want you to, with your eyes closed, imagine those shelves in there. Okay, what are you going to put in those on those shelves? Are you going to use baskets? Okay, what goes in there? Oh, well, Where would I hang up the kids, blah, 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 then? Oh, well, where will the extra socks go? And I want you to just imagine all of it and fall asleep. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. A couple things will happen. Number one, your energy for organizing that laundry room will improve and increase, and you won't really understand where it came from. Also, if you're giving your mind the ability to dream and recreate that space without being at Lowe's, sweating because you're not sure if the credit card's going to work or whatever, like, oh, well, what if I did it that way? Oh, well, what if I did it that way? Oh, well, what if I did it that way? One of those ways, you're going to wake up in the morning and go, you know what? I have a piece that's in a different room that maybe would work in there for that thing. My laundry room, the very first thing we did is we put a hutch in there. Like I had it in the family room and I actually measured and it fit in the laundry room. And I put it in the laundry room for a couple of years. It had like cabinets on the bottom, a little counter, and then like shelves on the top. And it was in there in my laundry room for a while. Like you can move stuff around your house. When I first started really seeing these pictures on this list last year, like just start to materialize what felt like out of thin air sometimes. Some of these things would just show up. I would forget that I had even kind of like put those on a vision board and all of a sudden I had them and I was like, oh yeah, I did want that. There was this house that we wanted to buy. I think I've told you this story, but this house, oh my gosh, it was gorgeous. It was all stucco and it had a pool in the backyard. It was on a golf course. It was totally marked down below market value. I still to this day could tell you every single wall in that house, what the entire house looked like, the total layout. I'd gone on the county auditor site and pulled up the blueprints. Like I looked at everything about this house and I was visioning at night this house. And that's why we did our landscaping and replaced our retaining walls and replaced our windows was because we had to do those things in order to sell this house if we were going to buy this other house. So I realized we couldn't buy the house right away. There were things we had to do to upgrade our house in order to even move. And we've decided not to move. But I called a realtor finally after I'd been doing this for a week. So for a week, I was going to bed, just like I told you guys. And I was falling asleep and I had driven by this house many times. And so I was imagining this house. And then as I was imagining the outside of this house and the inside of this house in my vision, laying in bed, all of a sudden my car was driving in the driveway. I was like, ooh, I'm not allowed in this driveway. And they're like, well, if it's your house, you have to park in the driveway. I was like, okay, this is all, I'm not actually doing this. This is in my mind. So I'm like, oh, okay. And this was like a 45 minute activity. I didn't sleep. Go to bed very early that night. So I walk in the garage. I'm like, oh, this garage is bigger than I thought. And then I walk into the house, which I know goes into the laundry room, or I mean, into the kitchen. I'm like, okay, where is the laundry room and where is the bathroom in relation to walking into this kitchen? Because I could never figure that out. And I kind of thought I knew where it was. So there's a great sunroom, family room over to the left, which was gorgeous. And I could imagine our family there. And that's where the kids would have their TV and everything. And then to the right was this awesome buffet. And behind that wall was the family room. And I could never tell how big the family room was. Then if I was going straight ahead in the kitchen, I looked out into a sunroom, which Greg always wanted a sunroom. And then beyond that was a pool. And I imagined myself doing the dishes. You guys, in my vision, I'm doing dishes. So I'm imagining myself doing the dishes and the kids are watching TV to the left and Greg is in the sunroom straight ahead. And then to the right, I'm still thinking about this living room. I cannot figure out how big this living room is. I was like, all right, I'm not going to worry about the living room. So I walked down the hallway towards our master bedroom, which is on the first floor. And I'm like, oh, this bedroom is beautiful. And I turn to the right and I cannot figure out what's to the right. I'm like, is there a wall here so that there is an office on the other side that would be my office, which is what I wanted? Or are there windows here? Because if there aren't windows here, then this is a really dark master bedroom. I'm not sure I want it to be that dark. But if there's not an office here, I don't want this house because I want to have an office. So anyway, I was like, don't worry about that, Lisa. Let's just move our furniture in. So I am moving my furniture. In my dream, I am moving my furniture from this house to the new house. I'm like, okay, so the living room furniture. I think the living room furniture is actually going to become the family room furniture. And then, so I'm literally moving furniture in and I get to the point where I can't move this one couch. And I was like, well, where is this couch going to go? And I realized I don't know how big the living room is. Do you hear how I keep coming back to this? How big is this living room? And I decided we're getting all new furniture for this living room. And I could imagine a Christmas tree there and the family is there. And my extended family was in town and we had all this certain furniture. I'm like, this seems like a lot of furniture for this living room. This living room better be big. Like it better be great room big, but I'm thinking it's not. And then I'm also envisioning, you guys, I had totally figured out my whole office. Like it was going to be the whole entire thing. I had it like literally on a graph paper in my head, every single thing that was going to be in there, including like how I was going to do live streams and how I was going to do team meetings and where I was going to meet with clients. Like all of it was all figured out. So I woke up the next day and I was like, I better get a realtor and I better go look at this house, because if I keep dreaming about this, we're all of a sudden going to live in a house and I knew at that point that the power of my thoughts and thinking about things and really emotionally putting yourself into the dream was going to make it happen. And let me just tell you, I'd moved into the house, people. I had moved into the house emotionally. I was already living there. So I was like, okay, I've got to see a realtor. So the realtor came by and we went and saw the house. And you guys, the living room was smaller than my bedroom. It was so small. And there was no first floor study. And when you went in the basement, it was a finished basement, but it was very small and there was no storage at all. They had finished every single square inch of this teeny tiny basement. So there was no place to even put your Christmas storage. And I was like, oh, no wonder the house is still on the market. Like it needed those three things. And I left the house that day and it was, you know, we weren't planning on moving anyway. So it wasn't like I needed to make it work or I needed to find a house. But I stopped visioning that house from that day forward. And then we did go ahead and fix up this one in case we wanted to sell it, which we don't want to anymore. And we decided we kind of like where we live. I tell you that whole story because you can do the same thing in organizing your house. You can literally organize your house in your mind. And when you focus on it at night before you go to bed, you will get better ideas of how to organize it when you do tackle that space. You will get things that you can move from one location to the other. Your brain will literally work for you while you're sleeping. I have said that over and over again, but now I found out science. There's science to prove it. I don't take time to do the research studies. I just have a gut intuition that I know a lot of this stuff, and it usually, eventually, science proves out. So Wayne Dyer, D-Y-E-R, I think. I've only watched this one video, but he's a really cool guy. I just haven't listened to a bunch of his stuff. He has this video called 5 Minutes Before You Sleep. And he talks about whatever you put in your mind 5 minutes before your sleep is what your mind works on and your subconscious works on all night long. So when we did the Rise You Are Enough National Convention, which I'm going to talk to you about again in a couple of weeks, I got to the convention. And I had everything planned. Like I had planned what I was going to speak and what I was going to do. And the night before the convention, Joey and I are in our hotel room. We have two double beds and I think he fell asleep or whatever. And I have my headphones in and I couldn't sleep. Like I wasn't a bad couldn't sleep or a nervous couldn't sleep. I just, and I'll tell you guys, doing that convention, I was not nervous a single minute. Like it was like so awesome. It was like breathing. It was so perfect. I was amazing. So here I am going to bed and I'm thinking about the opening talk, and I did all of the talking at Rise, and I was thinking about what I was going to share, and I was like, it just doesn't feel right. Like I know I could say all those things, but it doesn't feel like what I'm supposed to say. Like I feel like I'm supposed to say something else. And so I started listening in my headphones in my bed to all the entire soundtrack of every single song I was going to play at the convention. I had it saved in 4 different soundtracks, one for each session, 9 to noon, noon to 3 on both days. And so I thought, I'll listen to a couple songs and I'll go to bed. You guys, I laid in that bed for 2 hours and I went through all of the songs of the entire conference, all the way through, just praying and feeling and emoting and just, I looked over to see if Joey was really asleep, because I'm laying in the bed, but my arms are like dancing above me, like I'm doing sign language or something, like, and I'm just feeling the music. And I was thinking about all the people that were coming, and I was coming up with a whole different talk that I was going to share the next morning. And at the end of all those songs, I just turned it off and I fell asleep with the most peaceful sleep and got up and did that different talk. I did a different talk than the one I was planning on doing. It was much more vulnerable, and I really shared a lot that I just felt was right to share at that moment that I could, because it wasn't being recorded and I could really get raw and authentic with people in the room. And I have found that the more I am willing to ponder things and allow myself to think big thoughts and then emotionally feel what it would be like for that thing to happen, things happen much faster for me now. Really scary I'm telling you all this stuff because it seems so weird. But it's not having enough money. It's not having the right thing to do. It's the key to getting things done is knowing what you want, visioning it completely done, and then feeling how you will feel when it is done. Not how you feel now or about the work that needs to be done, but what will you feel like when it is done? As I'm in this bed at night, like dancing, laying down, listening to all of the songs that will happen, I was living the Rise event one day early, feeling how the people would feel in the room, practicing what I would say, thinking about the stories I wanted to share, which ones would be the most impactful for the people who had specifically decided to come to that event. Which ones should I share? Which ones should I not share? At one point during Rise, we had these breakthroughs where you could come up and you could share, and like the time to share was over or whatever, and people were still lined up. And I just went back and I sat down in the audience, and the whole team was like, okay, well, she went and sat down. So clearly we're not like wrapping this up and moving on to the next thing. And I never did. The whole entire event, like the whole Rise event, was like, I knew that there was supposed to be a time for this and a place for this. And then I just flowed through the entire event. Just lived in flow. Have you ever been at a time where you knew that this was the thing you were uniquely created to do, that this was, you were in the perfect place at the perfect time? Like, I know I don't do sports, but I hear people who do sports get this all the time where they're in the zone or in the flow. I know my dad was a golfer and he could just, you know, feel the swing. That's not me. I'm not in sports. But you know, when you're having a talk with your kids and you're parenting and you know they understand what you're saying and you're able to articulate it in a way that they can understand, or you're just on the same wavelength with your spouse and you look over and you both just start laughing and you don't even have to say anything, or you go in and you take a test and you know you aced that test, you just know that you did really well on that test, or you were able to make a sale or meet with your boss and just say, you know, here's how I think it should go. I know this isn't what we normally do, but this is what I really think we should do. And they're like, you're right. We totally should pivot and follow that. You know that feeling? What if you could live that way a lot more often? I am finding people are like, Lisa, you look like you lost weight and you're glowing. Thank you so much. I have not yet lost much weight. But I think I'm just living in flow. Like, almost everything I do now is in flow in my marriage, with my kids, with my house, with my business. And I know I'm blessed. I know I'm blessed. But I also know that I have put a lot of effort and focus and energy into figuring out what flow is for our family, for our house, and for my life. And I want that for you too. And I don't want your organizing to feel arduous and hard and difficult and expensive. It should be fun and light and empowering and envisioning and what you want your future to be. So if you're struggling with your organizing in your home, I would encourage you to think about, why do you want to get organized or more productive or whatever it is that you're trying to get organized right now? What is it you want? Why do you want that? And how will you feel when you have it? And then close your eyes and imagine what life is going to be like when the kitchen's already organized, when all the kids' artwork is in binders, when all the clothes in this house fit and you like to wear them all, when you go to open the cabinets and the food you have is not expired and you know how to cook with it. Like, what are the areas of your house and your life that you want to be more productive and more organized? And what does that look like? And what does that feel like? Not from a Pinterest perspective. Not what picture can you find on Pinterest and try to replicate it. I think that's where we go wrong. We see a vision of a perfect house and then we try to put ourselves in that perfect house. Skip that part. Skip the Pinterest magazine part. Just close your eyes and imagine your own space. How would that look more how you want it to look? Why? And how will you feel when you have that? And then I think your organizing is going to come easier and faster, and it's going to stay organized once you get organized. All right, I would love to hear what you have to say about this one. Obviously, if you're still listening, you didn't skip it. So I would love to hear what you think about my take on manifesting and if you have done it or if you're going to try it and what the results are. Have a great week.